In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. It all started with a wind. In the void and the nothingness before the creation of all things, we're told of a wind, the spirit, the wind, the breath of God that stirred over the chaos. This wind started to blow, and God's word spoke forth into the nothingness, and the world that we know sprang into being. And as God fashioned his creatures, we are told that he filled them with that wind and that breath and that spirit. The most lasting image that we have is the one of God toiling in the clay, shaping humanity, and then breathing his wind and breath into humanity. This humanity, however, filled the wind and the breath and the spirit of God, quickly turned against the Creator and fell away, wanting to be like God as opposed to living through his presence and his spirit. This led to violence upon violence and death that quickly culminated with the Lord at the time of Noah determining that he was going to wash this all clean. And so the floodwaters rose, and Noah and his family, along with all the creatures of the creation in the ark, sat there as the floodwaters rose and washed away the violence, the death, the suffering. And we're told that as they sat in the ark, a wind stirred again. A wind began to blow that blew the waters of the flood away. And the waters receded, and the creation bloomed anew because of the wind that had blown. But Noah's family did not get it right either. And things quickly decayed again into chaos, to suffering, violence, greed. And we find hundreds of years later that the people of God are stuck in slavery in Egypt. And the Lord chose a man named Moses to lead them out of this slavery. And they left Egypt and they walked away from their slavery, but they found themselves soon pinned against the Red Sea in the army of the Egyptians barreling down to kill them. And a wind started to stir again, we're told. The wind of the Lord started to blow, and the waters of the Red Sea parted. And the people of God walked through on dry land to the other side. And as they escaped, the wind of the Lord blew again, and the waters came crashing back down, destroying the Egyptian army. And as God's people then wandered in the wilderness, they soon needed his provision and his care, and they needed food. And a wind stirred again, we're told in the text. Quail were blown in by the wind of the Lord, and the people were provided with food to eat. The wind of the Lord had been at the heart of all of God's provision, his breath, his spirit, for all of the time of God's people walking with him. And by the time we get to the prophet Joel, the people of God have started to wonder why the wind of the Lord has gone still. It was not blowing anymore. God's breath was not moving in the world. But the prophet Joel, in the midst of the suffering and pain that God's people were undergoing as the Assyrian and Babylonian empires were destroying and ravaging the world and God's own people, Joel, the prophet, spoke a word of hope. That the Lord would return, the day of the Lord. He would come back into his creation. His wind would stir again. It would start to blow. He promised that all of God's creatures would be filled with the very breath, the very wind of God would fill them. God's people would prophesy, they would see visions, they would dream dreams, and there would be great signs in the heavens and on the earth. Joel knew that God was not done working in his world. His wind would blow again. New creation would come from the chaos in the darkness. As Jesus of Nazareth breaks onto the scene, one of the first images we have is of God's breath and wind starting to blow at his baptism. The Spirit, the breath, the wind, the same word essentially, comes upon Jesus. He is filled with this wind and breath of the Lord, and his ministry begins. John, who baptizes Jesus, sees this moment for what it is and starts to declare that Jesus is the one through whom God's wind and breath is going to start moving again. And Jesus, in John chapter 3, he spoke with Nicodemus about how all people, not just himself, all people must be born from above. This wind and breath of God must make us born again. And he told Nicodemus, the Spirit and the breath and the wind of God is like the wind in the creation. You can't control it. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know when it's going to show up. You don't know when it's going to disappear. But be ready, because all creatures must be born again with this wind, this breath of God. Jesus, in our text for this morning, our gospel text, he declared to his disciples that he was going away. He was going to be taken from them physically, but he promised that he needed to go away because he was going to send the breath, the wind, and the Spirit of God upon them. He knew that what he had received at his baptism was going to be for all of God's people, for all of creation. God's creative power through his wind, his saving power, was going to start blowing and roaring once again. Jesus made this promise, but it seems like the church has often lived as if we're still waiting for the wind of God to blow in our world. So many times we get caught up thinking we're just in this holding pattern as we await the so-called second coming of Jesus. He went away to the Father. I sure hope he comes back. And we sit around thinking there's not much we can do but kind of hang out until he comes back. But I believe when the church thinks this way, we get it wrong. Jesus went away to the Father, but quickly came back 3 days later at the resurrection. And he stood with his disciples in John chapter 20, and we're told that he breathed on them. The wind of God was poured out on the disciples just a few days after Jesus had been taken to the Father. The Spirit was put upon them. Jesus already had returned. They weren't waiting for some far-off future event. The time had already come. The breath of God was being breathed upon them as the prophet Joel had foretold. The prophet Joel had talked about those signs in the heavens and the earth. The darkness that would come upon the sun had happened at the crucifixion of Jesus. Powers were overturned, darkness came upon the land, and Jesus was the day of the Lord, the return of God in the midst of his people, and he breathed on his disciples, the breath and wind of God. It had come. He had returned. The second coming had already happened to his people, to the creation. Pentecost is that moment that we celebrate, that Jesus promised and held up his promise to come back. We must not miss the significance, the magnitude of what Pentecost means for us as a church. Jesus went away to the Father, and we are in a holding pattern waiting for him to come back. He has come back and dwells among us through his Spirit. He has poured that Spirit among us. He has poured the wind and the breath of God upon our world. Certainly, all the death and suffering has not been destroyed yet. And so we do long for a final close to that. But if we are simply waiting for Jesus to come back, we need to be reminded he is here. among us, dwelling in our very midst, dwelling within our bodies. He has breathed into us as his followers. His wind is moving in this world to bring new creation right now. Are we receptive? Are we attentive to this wind blowing? I think we have become callous in some ways to the work of God's Spirit among us in our world. Due to expectations not being fulfilled in the way that we want, we've closed ourselves off to being receptive to seeing that God's wind is already stirring among us in this room, in this place, in our lives, in this neighborhood, in this city, in our world. Despite the suffering, the violence, the death that continues, the wind of God is blowing. Jesus has already come back and is working among us. Will we be receptive to this Spirit, this breath, transforming us? That we would be caught up in the new creation that this breath is bringing? Or will we keep this breath and wind of God at an arm's length because we don't want it disturbing our lives, our world? Jesus promised he was coming back. He has. He's living among us. His work is happening among us. Will we be receptive to what he is doing? How he dwells in our midst. May it be that this Pentecost that we are reminded and reinvigorated to live with the breath of Jesus, empowering us to live as he has called us, to love as he has called us to love, to sacrifice ourselves for one another as he has called us to do. May we be empowered to live in the new creation that is already here. God's work has happened. We are liberated. We are set free. May we live into that right now. Amen.